Sadly, it's not a news story and not much action. A report was released last year into high ATM fees in communities. What were some of the findings? And I suppose more importantly, have there been any recommendations?
Oh, well, the first thing to say is, you know, I think that the talking posters are a terrific initiative. You know, they're not to be dismissed. It's a wonderful thing to be doing something in Aboriginal languages, which is going to lift knowledge. So that's good, but it has taken a long time for any action on this issue. What our report found was that people living in remote communities can't avoid ATM fees, and that's because the ATMs in those communities are by and large owned by private providers. So every time you withdraw money for cash or get an account balance, you're charged a fee.
Well, but banks do that, don't they? When you say providers, what do you mean?
Well, banks do that, but you can avoid those fees because you can go and use an ATM that's owned by your bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can, and that's what most people do. You tend to not pay those fees. We've changed our behaviour dramatically once these fees came in. But if you're living in a remote community where your bank does not have an ATM, and
yes,
that's the case for the majority of these people, you can't avoid them. And it's exacerbated, that's the first problem. It's exacerbated by the fact that Indigenous consumers use ATMs a lot more than what we do.
In what respect? Why?
Often on the day that a Centrelink payment is due, people will have no money in their bank account. They'll be wanting to buy food at the store. This is a good example. And they will check their balance 3, 4, 5, up to 10 times possibly to find out whether the money has arrived so they can go and buy food. And every time you check an account balance, you're charged $2 or $2.50.
And some fees, I hear, are up around the $10 mark.
When we did our report, we found an ATM in South Australia where it was $10 a transaction, which was just outrageous. I think the report, you know, changed that pretty dramatically, and a couple of days later that ATM was no longer charging fees to that level.
So is that sort of illegal? Is that like extortion?
Oh, it's extortion. There's nothing illegal about it. But what happens is that, you know, we rely on competition to a large extent to keep fees and charges in check and balance, and, you know, different mechanisms such as internet banking and phone banking do that. But none of those things work in remote communities. There's no competition. There is no access generally to the internet, and there's generally no access to phone banking.
So these talking posters have got a built-in audio module so users can listen in language. What are the sorts of things being said to people? Like, don't use your ATM as much, you know, withdraw a substantial amount of money so you don't have to keep coming back. What's the...
Oh, look, I haven't had a chance to listen to them and see them because it's not something that our organisation actually did. So, you know, good on you, ASIC and TIO, for doing it. But there's some good messages such as don't share your PIN number, for example. Messages such as, you know, withdraw large amounts of cash are problematic because we also know in remote communities people tend to withdraw small amounts of cash. And you might do that because you don't have access to very good refrigeration. So you might want to buy your food every day. Or it's a good budgeting strategy. So there's a pattern of usage in these communities which is fundamentally different to the way lots of other people use ATMs, and it's exacerbated by this lack of choice.
And are you calling for ATMs to be free in bush communities?
Well, something needs to be done. I mean, it's incredibly unfair that this, you know, very vulnerable group of consumers are losing up to 20% of their income every fortnight through ATM fees. So the government, to their credit, took our report on board and in February asked the Reserve Bank and the Treasury to have a look at it. They did that. They have that report. We know there's been discussions going on at high levels within government and with the industry since then. It just does seem to be taking a long time. We accept that it's complex. But really, you know, there is a point, I think, where we say, please, you know, we need to do something. It's not fair that this is happening. And the only answer really is that these fees need to be, in some ways, subsidised or abolished for this very vulnerable group of people.
Okay, Fiona, and just putting pressure, I suppose, on various governments to do something. You see it as a federal government responsibility, or could the territory government be involved?
No, I actually think it's an industry responsibility. I think there's a role here, and I think it's been taken up by the banking industry. It's not the banking industry that have caused the problem to such, really, but the banking industry working in consultation with the private providers, I think, have got probably the major role to play, and I think the government has an interesting role of trying to bring them together.
Okay, thanks very much for your work, Fiona.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.